Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Togetherness. Now, this week is Men's Health Week. And for Men's Health Week, I like particularly focusing on men's mental health because it's still something that men don't like to talk about. There's this gold standard of being a man, as I put it in an article, where you've got to have, you know, the best car, you've got to have the highest paid job, you've got to be in a nice, happy relationship and have it all fine and dandy. There's a certain way which you've got to look to the rest of the world. But there's still a stigma attached to men saying, I'm not feeling okay. I need help. I'm suffering from depression. Whatever it is. And this is something that really needs to be tackled. I'm very lucky in this episode to have spoken to Chris. And Chris does a lot of work in talking about his experiences, turning them into a positive. And he shares a lot of kindness and a lot of inspiration over social media. But first of all, from my local radio station, Black Cat Radio in St. Neots, in February of last year, a father, Stephen Whitney, lost his son to suicide. It was very sudden. Suicide, mental health, depression, none of these have a particular way of looking, and it can seem like the happiest people are actually some of the saddest people. And first of all, I'd just like to offer my sincere condolences to Stephen and his family, but what Stephen went on to do next was amazing. I'm not going to continue to talk. I'm actually going to just pause this and listen to the interview with Steve from Black Cat Radio.
Earlier this year, in February, William Whitney died in a lorry accident on the A16. The shock of what happened, Steve, when it came, must have been an absolute bolt out of the blue for you all.
You know, William was a hard-working young man that would do anything for anybody. Yeah, as you say, on the 12th of February, he decided to take his own life. He'd left a note stating he had no money, he had no friends, and his life had no worth. If only he knew that wasn't true. In fact, it's cost more burying than what his debt was. He had over 400 people at his funeral. In fact, there were so many at Cambridge Crematorium that they had to put a giant screen outside. Barry Fry, Darren Ferguson, they were all there. And he's left a huge hole in all of our lives, if only he knew. It wasn't until he'd gone, Steve, that it became apparent that William obviously had things going on in his life. No matter how small, he talked to his mum, talked to his friends at work, he talked to his girlfriend, his grandmother, his auntie, everybody. They all knew little bits that were going through William's life. The only person that didn't know them all was me, Dad, and I could have probably put the jigsaw together. I could have also helped him because I was so proud of the way he was living his life. And I urge all of you dads out there, with sons, daughters for that matter, those kids that have found independence at a very early adult life, please, 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 talk to your kids.
Zoe Doherty, you're a fundraiser with the CPSL Mind, that's the Cambridgeshire and Peterborough and South Lincolnshire branch of the mental health charity Mind. You must have come across countless stories, sadly, like Steve's.
Yes, sadly we do. And first of all, I just want to pass on all of our condolences from CPSL Mind to Steve and his family. As Steve said, no parent should ever have to go through this. Steve, obviously this is a difficult time for everyone's mental health during the pandemic. People are feeling isolated. You know, we're not being able to do the things we normally do, you know, to make ourselves better, you know, meet friends for coffee and connect with others. And a lot of people are dealing with worries about their health and family members, and the pressures of homeschooling this year have been difficult. And people are worried. Some people are worried about their jobs and their finances. So this can all take its toll on people's mental health, and a lot of people are citing COVID as a factor in their mental health.
Thank you very much. The messages that we're getting coming in are just incredible this morning. So thank you very much for the tribute that you've paid to Will, because as you say, it would have been his birthday today, and I guess you can pay no greater a tribute to him on his birthday than to let our listeners know what happened with the golf day. Tell us a little bit about it, and then let the listeners and Zoe know how much was raised.
Okay, well, for me personally, it's been one hell of a year this year, but one thing that's kept me going strong is my golf club. The members of the golf club all played, drunk and cried with me this year. And it has been an absolute honour to be their captain. But I was determined to do something in memory of William, and I wanted to raise awareness for suicide and let the people out there know that there are organisations that can help. The restrictions were lifted, so I floated the idea of putting the Charity Day and the Captain's Day together, and the rest is history. On Saturday the 5th of September, we had 240 social distance golfers playing from dawn until dusk. Couldn't get any more people on the course, sponsoring holes, prizes. Literally everything that comes out of the budget was sponsored. My blind auction, believe it or not, raised another £4,500. All three of these events, plus the other bits we had on through the year, means that I had the pleasure to announce that in the memory of my son, William Whitney, the members and friends of St. Neots Golf Club have raised and would like to donate to CPSL Mine the sum of £13,120.
Zoe, what's your reaction to that?
I know it's radio, so we've got to keep talking. I'm speechless, Steve, and I am so overwhelmed and privileged that you have chosen CPSL Mine to receive this such a generous donation. And just, I think, all of, you know, yourself, your family, all the members of the St. Neots Golf Club and the friends of St. Neots Golf Club, I think we were there on the day with you, weren't we? And it was just the love and the friendship that was there and everybody trying so hard. I can't believe that total, because I know when we first spoke, you were talking about 1,000 or 2,000 is something that you were trying to aim for. I'm overwhelmed.
Now listening to that makes me emotional. Once again, my love and sincere condolences go out to Stephen and his family, and my thoughts are with William. I think you can hear the raw emotion in that interview. You know, and what an amazing amount raised that will, I'm sure, will help so much. £14,165 is incredible, and William's memory and legacy will live on. So I'd just like to say thank you again to Steve from Black Cat Radio, who are my local radio station in St. Neots. You can find them on blackcatradio.org, and you can download that app, Black Cat Radio, on the Android App Store and the Apple App Store. Now coming up next, I spoke to Chris this week, and Chris has been through a lot. It's Men's Health Week, so I thought, who better to get on than a very inspiring man who has been through a lot, and something which many men, many people can relate to, you know, through the pandemic and lockdown. We've a lot of us are experiencing a lot of financial hardship, a lot of stress, anxiety. You know, we don't know what's going to happen anymore. And Chris has turned this around, you know, throughout everything he's been through, he's used it as a positive, and he's been inspired by his journey, however difficult. And yeah, no, it's a pleasure talking to Chris. Instead of me rambling on, I'm going to play the interview now, and I really hope you guys enjoy it. It was very, very inspiring. Here we go. So I'm joined today by Chris, and Chris, thank you very much for joining me. I'll let you introduce yourself, if that's all right.
Thank you very much, Jay. Thank you for getting me onto your podcast. My name's Chris Ward. I live down in East Devon, down in the southwest of England. A husband, a dad, a granddad in my mid-40s now, and just looking to kind of share some of the experiences that I've had over the last few years to hopefully try and enable some other people out there to try and engage a little bit more and feel like they have the opportunity to talk across what's is some issues that have had stigmas over them in the past.
Fantastic, thank you. And I mean, you've been through a fair few different things, and I think some will resonate with a lot of people at the moment regarding work and finances. You know, you've set up some successful businesses, but also it's been a bit difficult.
Yeah.
You came close to bankruptcy, didn't you? And you've suffered with depression as well, and the sense of feeling a failure, which is Men's Health Week this week. And I think a lot of men with what's going on can resonate with that. Can you tell me a bit more?
I think I'm a prime example of, you know, you talk about Men's Health Week, and I think one of the facts that I read over the last few days that 2 out of 5 men between the ages of 20 and 59 really don't talk about their issues, don't talk about their problems. They keep it to themselves. And I fell totally into that category. A little bit of my background, I worked for the government for many, many years until around 2010, had a very secure job, brought my family up, got married in a very, very good position. And then my wife and I decided that in our kind of mid-30s, we wanted to do something for ourselves, do something different. And I was brought up in pubs, so I decided to kind of go into the pub trade, into the hospitality trade. And my wife and I bought a pub. Very, very successful. And then in 2014, we bought a second pub, and we did really, really well. We, you know, we had good holidays. We managed to travel the world. We worked 24/7. It was very, very hard. But we managed to put our children through, you know, good schools. And on the outside, to many people, we had a perfect life. But inside, to me, it just wasn't bringing me happiness. It wasn't bringing me joy. And I started to struggle with the 24/7 lifestyle. People who were became your friends because they were your customers. And it just got to the point where I wasn't enjoying what I was doing. Couple that with then going into a bit of a difficult patch where we had to sell one of the businesses. And then trade started to change quite dramatically in kind of 2014, 2015, where it just became more and more difficult. And you put the pressures of not enjoying what you're doing, and then also kind of financial constraints that then become on you in trying to keep the business running. And when you're in the hospitality trade, it shows very, very quickly. So if you don't have a smile on your face and you're not enjoying it, you know, and you have your own internal issues, it becomes quite a challenge. And as soon as that starts to show to your customers, they stop coming through the door, really. So we got to the point in 2016 where we managed to kind of sell the business. We were very, very lucky. We didn't come out of it with any profit or anything like that. And we came out of it with quite a lot of debt, probably around £20,000 to £30,000 that we had to pay off. But I'll tell you something, Joe, even being in that position, coming out with the debt hanging over us, being close to bankruptcy, I felt a relief over me, and I felt a sense of happiness that I was in a much better position. Although financially, I was probably in the worst position I've ever been throughout my career.
I guess you got to have a step back, really. I mean, the pub, club industry, any nightclub or hospitality industry is difficult. I mean, I worked in a club, and like you say, you have to kind of put on this front even when you're not feeling happy. You've got to always maintain that. And it's hard. It's hard keeping it in, because I think then you get it, you almost feel like it's normal to keep it in as well.
It is. You kind of live with a nervous energy, to be honest. You know, you're constantly running around. You're constantly living life on the edge. You don't get chance to kind of breathe and slow down and appreciate your surroundings because your lifestyle is 24/7. And although that was successful for a period and then went into a difficult patch, it just wasn't happiness to me. So we managed to sell that business. And then kind of 2016, it was kind of start again. My wife and I had no jobs. We had no income and we had no home. We managed to kind of rent a property towards the middle of 2016. And we both took kind of jobs. I went back into kind of procurement and business management, which I'd done previously, and started right at the bottom again, you know, on a low salary in an admin assistant role. But it was the happiest days of my life, to be honest. I had no pressure. I had no challenges. But, you know, I was ready to start again. And I slowly kind of built the ladder and started to kind of walk up the rungs again and try and get myself up to a level of middle management, which is what I've done now. But it was challenging times. It was very, very difficult. It was a position where whatever I tried to do in terms of bringing energy to myself continued to struggle. And, you know, coupled with that, a couple of years later, you know, my father passed away as well. So that was the next challenge in my life. And all this was all starting to add up. You know, even though I'd come out of an area of kind of depression and feeling a level of anxiety and being unhappy in what most people would see as a successful lifestyle, and then couple that with having to start a new job, all this was building up in the background. You know, I didn't perhaps feel it myself at the time. I kind of just knuckled down and did what I had to do as a father and trying to provide for my family. But inside, something was burning into me, kind of in hindsight now, thinking, hold on, something's not quite right with your mentality, with the way that you're thinking. And I continued just to ignore it. And I continued to ignore it until, you know, things got as bad as they did, which I'm happy to discuss a little bit later.
What was that turning point for you? I mean, first of all, how do you deal with, one, the change in the uncertainty? Also, I start from the bottom, and that's obviously very stressful, but it's quite refreshing, I think, for myself as well, after lockdown and things just going all over the place. Starting from scratch again, building yourself up, it's good. But how did you deal with the stress, the uncertainty, the fear? And when was that turning point for you, realizing that something had to change or you had to go and get help?
It was during 2019. It was the summer of 2019 that I hit a brick wall, basically. My father had passed away in July 2018. He had a brain tumour that was diagnosed at the end of May of that year. And within 6 weeks...
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it was tough, you know, as it would be for anybody. And he passed away within 6 weeks. My father was my best man at my wedding. He was my best friend, really. And to have someone that you'd go for a drink with who was perfectly healthy on the 28th of May 2018 and then 12th of July passed away was a very much challenge, as you'd expect. My mother is still alive. So, you know, I was there to comfort my mother. My sister's disabled and she lives at home with my mother. So I had to try and comfort my sister as well. So there was no chance for me to grieve in any stretch. You know, I had to put on the brave face and kind of be the man within the family then. And that was just another trigger, another example of things building up with inside me, thinking, hold on, you know, you're doing what you're doing, but you're not having the chance to kind of show your emotions and be able to grieve and start to kind of feel for the loss of your father. So that happened in 2018. 2019, I got to a point where internally I was feeling very low. I felt like I was burning inside. I was breaking down. I was crying in front of my wife. I was taking days off sick. I was worried that financially we weren't going to be able to pay some of the debts that we'd had from our hospitality business. My wife is my rock. You know, she was the strongest person ever. She's at my side saying it doesn't matter if, you know, we live in a flat or in a hostel, wherever we are, as long as we're together with our son, that's all that matters. But you have this kind of brave image that, you know, you're the man of the house. You're the one who has to provide for the family. And it's when things go wrong, it's your fault. You know, and I had that kind of hanging over me. So I got to around May, June 2019, and I started to get these really kind of strange stomach pains. Didn't think too much of it for a couple of months, and they started to rumble away. And my wife works in the medical field, and she said, I think you'd better go and get checked. Just go and get them checked out and see what's going on. So I went along to the doctors, and it's got a long story short. I was diagnosed with what they call non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, which is basically where my liver had become 50% fat, not down to alcohol, because I'm not a big alcohol drinker. I've never been a big alcohol drinker, but down to my lifestyle, probably over the last 5 to 10 years, in terms of eating takeaways, eating chocolates, not looking after myself, not carrying, you know, a certain level of fitness. And although it wasn't alcohol based, living in the pub industry and living in the pub trade, having 2 to 3 pints, you know, a day, perhaps at the end of a night, and spread that over a week and then spread that over 20 to 30 years probably had an impact on where I am. So I had the blood test, went to the doctors, and she said, you know, you've got to really change your lifestyle. You know, you've got to lose weight. You've got to stop drinking for the time being, even though it's not a major effect, and do some exercise and eat more healthily, you know, more healthily. And she said,
that might be quite a shock in itself.
It was. And that was the final straw for me, because I sat there and I remember to the day I was sat in the doctor's surgery, just chatting away. And she said, but, you know, the liver is the one organ within your body that regenerates itself. So as long as we do things right, there's no scarring, there's no serious effect. Over the next 6 months, you'll be able to. Oh, I'm so sorry. So I got to the point where I sat in the doctor's room. She went through all this. I just burst out in tears. I burst out in total tears. And she said, look, don't worry. This isn't a major health issue. As long as you start to eat better, you know, we can regenerate the liver. And I said, that's not my problem. She said, well, what else is going on? And I just blurted everything out to her. I blurted everything out around the pub, the business, having the debts when we came out of it, going through depression, my father passing away, worried about how I was going to be able to cope and survive, and having kind of suicidal thoughts and how I was going to provide for my family, and not having the ability or the option to go to the doctors to talk about it, because I just felt I was being the man by ignoring it, because that was a manly thing to do at the end of the day. And because I found myself in a room, sat down with the doctor at that period of time, I was just able to talk to her, where previously I would never have arranged to go in. So she kind of...
That must have been a big relief.
It was a massive relief. It was a massive relief. And that was the turning point for me in terms of kind of trying to trigger the energy to be more positive in myself, to be able to look at the issues that I've had, the challenges that I had, and then saying, you know, how can I move forward? And to be actually look and think, well, actually, what I have is a really good lifestyle. You know, I live in a lovely part of the country. I have a lovely family. I have a job. Yes, we've got financial issues, but we're working through those. And actually, there's no need for the grass to be greener for me, you know, because the grass that I have is growing perfectly well enough. And it was just being able to have that energy and positivity with myself. So, I went on a strict diet. I lost a couple of stone. I've still got a little bit more to do. I stayed off alcohol for 6 months, and now I only have a drink on a Saturday. I eat more healthily. And I just kind of triggered that mindset to have that continuous improvement in everything I do. And it just kind of, over the last year, it's got me into a really, really good place. And I know for some people, it's very difficult to say, be positive, you know, when it comes to mental health issues, because being positive isn't that easy. It worked well for me, but I fully understand for others, just getting by each day and just getting through the day is just as successful as well. So it's been a challenge. Every day I still have challenges, but I feel I'm at a point now where I can actually not only help myself, but feel talk about some of my experiences as a man. And actually, you don't need to be a man. You don't need to let things get on top of you. And you should be proud to be able to be open up and say, look, I'm having a bad day. I'm going to take a day off work, or I need someone to talk to. And now I feel I'm at that point where I can do that, and starting to engage on social media with certain people to say, look, I can't understand how you're going through. Well, what you're going through, I never say I understand what people are going through, because everyone's different. But I can share my experience and how I've dealt with it. And hopefully there may be something that you can take out of that will then trigger hopefully something to allow you to move forward in a positive way as well.
Do you think this whole experience has kind of helped you move forward in life and with that positive mindset? Do you think without it, it might have been a bit, well, life would have been worse in some ways?
I think so. I think, you know, I'm a firm believer in fate and all that. And there's a really great cartoon. I don't know if you've seen it. A guy, Hagar the Horrible. I think he used to be in one of the tabloids. And he sat on his, it's worth digging out. It's on Joe Biden's desk, actually. It's something Joe Biden's got as president of the USA. And he sat in a storm in the middle of the ocean, this cartoon character. And he's got God looking down on him. And I'm not a particularly religious person. And he looks up and says, why is this happening to me? And God looks down and he says, why not? I think that is so, so powerful when you think about those ideas. Why is this happening to me? Why not? And I think, and that's what I kind of take away from it as well, to think actually there's no rationale why things happening to you. There's no reason why things happen. Things just happen and you've got to deal with it. And I know that's easier to say for some than for others. But if I've had a load of issues in my life and other people haven't, why is it happening to me? Well, why shouldn't it happen to me? You know, why not? You know, and it's how I deal with it and get over it. And I think that's a really powerful thing. And Joe Biden talked about that same thing, saying, you know, he lost his first wife and his daughter in a car crash. And then he lost his son a few years ago to, I think it was brain cancer. And he said exactly the same. You know, why is it happening to me? Why not? And it's how we deal with it and how we move forward. Now, some of us move forward a lot quicker with positivity and with a change of energy and getting help and assistance. Other people take more time and need, you know, more medical advice and do it slowly. But I'm a firm believer in thinking that we're put on this earth, you know, for a reason. And if we're dealt with challenges, then so be it.
Definitely. And I mean, time is the greatest healer, isn't it? And like you say, there's no time limit. These things do take time. And I can resonate with that completely, like with my experiences growing up. I wouldn't be where I am today and doing the things that I do. Obviously it's Men's Health Week, and you've spoken a bit about, you know, this man up culture and this toxic masculinity that is still so prevalent in the world. Suicide rates are increasing year on year. Suicide is the biggest cause of death among men under the age of 50. Three times as many men as women die by suicide. Obviously, every suicide, it's not about the statistics, but it's about stamping out this culture that we have where you can't talk about this, you just need to man up. How do you think, as a society, that's something that, how can we tackle that?
I think one of the good things around social media now is that is starting to tackle it. Where if you go back 20, 30 years ago, there was very much a male culture that the male was the working man. You know, the lady of the house would stay at home, do the cooking, look after the children, that sort of approach. And the man, you know, would go out to the pub and have a beer with, you know, with his colleagues. It was more of a working class. And you couldn't show that negativity. You couldn't show that weakness in your lifestyle. You certainly couldn't show it in the workplace, because I think that was seen as, you know, you suffer from stress. Well, what's stress? You're not a brain surgeon. You're not an astronaut. You're not flying planes. You know, you're just working in an office. You can't have stress. And I was probably like that myself, you know, going back many, many years as a youngster. I didn't understand.
Do you think that's got better in the workplaces, taking into consideration, or?
I think it has. I think it depends in what sort of environment you work in. I think if you work for many large companies, you know, they have mental health advisors now. They have mental health courses. They have people who can advise you in terms of occupational health as well. I think if you work in some areas, it's probably a little bit more challenging still. But, you know, we need to be, we're far too self-critical of ourselves. You know, we're human beings. We're all beautiful in our own ways. And we've got to have more kind of empathy with each other, more self-care, understand our own emotional intelligence. You know, I'm a big football fan. 15, 20 years ago, I'd never gone and sat at a football match with close friends of mine and say that I was feeling stressed, or I was feeling suicidal, or I'm worried about my financial position and I cry myself to sleep. You just wouldn't do it. But today I can have those conversations. For some people, they still can't do that. And I understand that. And it's always a concern when you look at people who are constantly quiet in their lives, who you think wouldn't say boo. And actually, they're the ones you've got to be worried about, because they just keep things in and, you know, don't have that ability to talk or communicate or collaborate with other people. You know, take Robin Williams as a prime example, one of the most successful actors in the world. On the outset, he had a smile on his face, a great comedian, a great joker. no one had any idea of probably what he was going on within himself internally, and you know the tragic case of that. So I think we are becoming more aware. I think there's still a lot we can do in terms of looking at illness. You know, if you look at a physical illness, for example, if you go into hospital, you break your leg or you have appendicitis, you'll get cards, you'll get flowers, you get well wishes. If you say you've got a mental illness, you get nothing. You know, no one will send you a card and say, get well, sorry that you're feeling mentally unwell. No, so, you know, it's kind of one extreme to the other. So although I think we're making improvements, there's still a long way to go, I think, to be able to kind of understand what mental illness is. The fact that we have a lot of celebrities talking about it now across lots of different sectors within the world certainly helps to raise the profile. So I think we're certainly moving in the right direction, yes.
So what would you say to people if their friend or family member came up and said, you know, I'm feeling suicidal, I'm not okay? Or if they saw their friend or family member being very quiet, how would you advise them to approach that situation?
I think communication is key. You know, it's being able to talk, but also being able to get someone to talk back to you. And that's not always the easiest thing. If you say, are you okay? 99% of people will say, yes, I'm fine. You know, no problem. It's trying to understand that those kind of emotional intelligence traits, you know, the traits of personality of people. Do they look different from when you saw them a week ago? Do they normally kind of sit in the coffee room with you, but now they're staying in the office? Do they normally come and have a beer with you on a Friday night, but saying they're not going out? You know, when you're having a conversation, you talk about something like sport or pop music, or suddenly they're getting a little bit reserved with you. It's trying to pick up on those traits to say, well, hold on, something just doesn't seem right with this person. And then trying to kind of open up with them in a way that doesn't seem to be threatening or trying to advise them, you know, what's wrong with them, but just to say, look, it's perfectly okay to be how you are and how you're feeling, but let's try and understand a little bit of, you know, where you are, and, you know, can any of my past experiences help you move forward in any particular way?
Do you think the pandemic's helped people focus on stuff like self-care, the importance and the little things in life? I certainly have found that focusing on like nature. I'd have never been a wildlife person.
Yeah.
And now that's completely changed. Do you think it's had a positive impact?
I think it's had a positive and a negative impact. If I'm honest, I think the positive impact is we all look at our lives in a different way now. When all of us have been affected by COVID, and some of us probably have been affected personally. Luckily, I haven't, but I have known people who have been affected by it. And I don't think anyone has not been touched about, you know, what's happened over the last 15 months. I think working from home, having a bit of reality check and saying, well, actually, we can all just be a bit more kinder. We can all be a bit more nicer. We can all start to care for each other a little bit more because we just don't know what's around the corner, has certainly been in my outlook and certainly changed, you know, even more the way that I feel and the way that I behave. And I know it has for many, many others. I think the downside is we've lost our social interaction. You know, we've lost the ability to go out and communicate and collaborate with people. And I think that's made it difficult for people who are at home. I'm at home with a family. I have friends that I can go and see. I work from home kind of 24/7 now, but I can go for a walk and get fresh air. And like you say, take in the nature around us that I'd probably never done before, where I was commuting on a train or in a car and actually open the window and work and listen to the birds and things that you just took for granted, but never took for notice. You're actually kind of taking in and thinking, actually, this is impacting on my life in a positive way. But there's also people who've been at home for 15 months and stuck in a flat environment on the 16th floor, not seeing anyone. So there's positives and negatives that have come out of it for sure.
Post-lockdown anxiety is massive. It's going to be huge, especially for those that suffer with anxiety and depression. You know, they want to stay at home. That's been what you have to do now, the comfort and not really being anything. How would you deal with that?
I think that's a challenge, because I think I found when we first came out of lockdown, just going out and walking on the seafront, you know, where I live, having a lot more people around, you know, you tend to get a little bit more anxious because you haven't been used to that volume of people around you. And same if you go out for a meal, you become less patient because you're used to being at home. So it's ensuring that you continue with that positivity. you know, I quite often will put on social media, try and not be negative for 24 hours in your life. And it's near impossible to do in terms of being able to just human nature. You know, that simple little thing like complaining about a traffic light changing to red or someone crossing the road in front of you or I'm 5 minutes late. We can't get away from negativity. We're always negative as human beings. And it's just being able to reduce that negativity and try and make sure that the positivity is more on the more than the 50% of the negativity is below it. But yeah, I think, you know, lockdown has brought many challenges, not only just in health for many people, but in terms of social interaction and how we live our lives.
And in terms of the services, I think we've realised the failings and how, well, the services in the UK do need updating. We live in a very outdated mental health service. What do you think, I ask this question to many people, what do you think needs to change? What do our government need to do to really start helping people?
I think it's a difficult one, isn't it, without getting political, but I think they live in their own little bubble a little bit. I think they were very late to the table in terms of understanding the severity of what we were dealing with here. I think that was quite clear. And I think in hindsight, they'll probably admit that. The lessons learned from the mistakes that were made between kind of February and May last year is something that's probably cost thousands of lives. And I think everybody recognises that. But what concerns me more and what I find really frustrating is we don't seem to have learned our lesson. You know, we're now in a position where we've got this new Delta variant that's attacking us that has come in from somewhere. More likely than not, it's come in from India. And we didn't close our borders down quick enough. You know, our border process is like a sieve, if I'm being perfectly honest. And I think that's down to balancing the economy and money and trade with people's health. And, you know, I don't think we'll ever get anyone to admit that, but health should be the number one priority from day one. And I don't think it was, to Absolutely. Be honest. And I still don't think it is now. And that's what's really kind of upsetting for people who've lost loved ones, that we are trying to balance the economy and keep people's businesses running at the same time, which I understand is very, very challenging and very difficult for the government. But there's been a lot of mistakes made.
Yeah, a lot of misspending and things gained. We won't go into the political bit. That's not what this is for. How's life now? On a positive note, how are things for you? And what does the future look like for you, Chris?
Life's really, really good for me. I'm in a position where I work for an engineering company. I've climbed myself up to middle management over the last 3 or 4 years. I enjoy what I'm doing. I get myself out of bed with a spring every day. I'm one of these people that love Mondays. You know, very few people do, but Monday's the start of the week. I feel energized and revitalized after the weekend and ready to start again. I feel I have a stronger relationship with my wife and my son, although they're always there at my side during challenging times. I feel, you know, we're a lot happier than we are now. And we enjoy kind of the simple things in life, like going for a walk, walking the dog, reading a book, putting some vinyl on the record player, stuff that we just never would have done in the past. And I also feel that, you know, my experiences are there to help others as well. And like I said at the beginning, I'm not a doctor. I've done some mental health training. I'm not ever going to try and tell people how they should be reacting to their mental challenges in life. But all I can do is try and spread a level of positivity, try and trigger that, you know, the energetic response from people and try to say, well, actually, this is what I've been through. If you can resonate or relate to any of it, then please do. Because if I can say one thing or post one message on Twitter that someone kind of looks at and says, actually, I can see what Chris says there and I can see where he's coming from and it helps one person, then it's worth, you know, posting 2 or 3 messages a day. So, yeah, my whole aim is to try and kind of raise myself to be able to help others. You know, I've been through challenges. I've seen challenges. I've been very, very lucky to pull myself away from the cliff face, so to speak. And if I can help others to kind of move in the same direction that I've done, you know, that's what I'm certainly, you know, looking to do.
And if you could pick one bit of advice that's the main thing you'd say to someone, what would it be?
Believe in yourself. And that's what I struggled with. Believe in who you are, the ability you've got, the people that love you, what you've achieved in life. You know, like I said earlier, never look at the grass is always greener. You know, look at the grass on your side of the fence and actually say, well, actually, mine's green enough. I'm in a good position myself. I don't need to try and be anybody else. You know, care for yourself, have self-love, have self-care, and don't be so critical on yourself. Because that's what I was. I was very sensitive and kind of beat myself up a lot of the time. So once I kind of got over that and actually thought, you, Chris Ward, are an individual yourself, a nice individual. Many people love you. You've got a lot of to offer everyone else. Believe in yourself. Things started to change a little bit as well.
Fantastic advice. And where can people find you on social media to pick up this inspiration?
I'm only focusing on Twitter at the moment. So I kind of closed down my old Twitter account at the end of last year and started a new one just to kind of have a level of kind of positivity on the platform. It's at The Kind Chris at the moment, but you can find me under Chris Ward. I've also in the process of setting up a website, which is going to be www.unshakableminds.com, and a podcast I'm looking to do, which I'm going to title Unshakable Minds as well. So it's all around kind of getting that mind and getting that energy and getting that right positive mindset moving forward, really.
Love it. I'll put those links in the description. Keep me up to date with everything. Chris, it's been a pleasure. A really inspiring conversation. This is why I love doing these as well. It's nice to hear from other people. It's been a tough time, but you should feel proud of yourself too. And a really inspiring story. And thank you for doing what you do. You know, it's hard taking life experiences, talking about them and trying to lift others up. But, you know, you're making a huge difference and you should be proud of yourself. And thank you.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you. It's been great. It's great that you're interacting with, you know, normal people in everyday life. And it's not, you know, the celebrity people that kind of talk about it all the time, although it's very important. I think it's important that, you know, your average person on the street gets to share their story. So, you know, thank you for what you're doing and please may it long continue.
Thank you. And we'll get you back on at some point.
Sounds great. Lovely. Thanks very much. I really appreciate it.
Such a lovely gentleman, a lovely conversation with Chris. Thank you once again for joining me. As Chris said there, you can find him on social media at The Kind Chris, and we'll keep up to date with all of his work and everything that he's doing and update you accordingly too. Obviously, Men's Health Week, I released an article this week, obviously the gold standard which men feel like they need to live up to. I'd just like to go over some statistics. 3 times as many men as women die by suicide. Suicide is the biggest killer of men aged under 50. Men report lower levels of life satisfaction than women, according to the government's National Wellbeing Survey. Men are less likely to access psychological therapies than women. Only 36% of referrals to the NHS talking therapies are for men. And nearly 3/4 of all adults who go missing are men. 87% of rough sleepers in the UK are men. And men are 3 times more likely as women to become dependent on alcohol. And there's 3 times likely to report frequent drug use. And that's due to different aspects in life, like finances, stress, and lack of support. And just guys, lads, whoever is listening to this, please, please don't feel like you need to suffer in silence. Please don't tell your friend to man up. Let's stop using that man up phrase. You know, it's so dangerous. You know, suicides have been the increase now for year on year, and these losses are, you know, these are people's brothers, sisters, family members. Everyone is a person that is worthy in the world. I've almost been there, you know, and it's not nice. And once again, just would like to send my condolences to Stephen Whitney and his family, who you heard on that clip from Black Cat Radio at the start of this program. And I'd like to reiterate just what Stephen said. You know, this has been a difficult time for everyone's mental health during the pandemic, and people are feeling isolated. We need to, and we are not able to do the things that we normally do to make ourselves better, like meeting people for a coffee and connecting with others. A lot of people are dealing with their health and family members, and this can all take its toll on people's mental health. And organisations like Mind, Samaritans, Shout, there's so many that are here for you, so please don't suffer in silence. And again, like Stephen said at the end of that the clip, he was so proud of William, and I urge you all out there with sons and daughters, please talk to your kids. So once again, a big thank you to Chris for joining me, and a big thank you to Black Cat Radio for allowing me to use that clip. It's important that we really continue to spread this awareness. Guys, please speak out. And if you would like to be a guest on Togetherness, you can go onto my website, hover over the podcast tab at the navigation bar and click on Be a Guest. You can tweet me at JoePlumUK. You can follow me on Instagram at JoePlumUK and type in facebook.com/JoePlumUK. Find me on there, get in touch, or you can email hello@thejoeplum.co.uk. Want to hear your stories, and if you've got any thoughts or feedback or comments on anything you've heard here, then please share them, and it would be great to speak to you all. That is a wrap, and I hope you all have what's almost the weekend. It's Friday tomorrow, so enjoy the rest of your week. Stay positive. Please don't suffer in silence.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.